Some more narrative, others like Eros and Middle Age, not necessarily narrative. Can you talk a little bit about how you, I don't know, maybe the difference between how you work in particular forms?
Yeah. When I was coming into my own voice, this book is in three sections, and the last section was written first, and it was published. The last section was published as a chapbook by State Street Press, which is here, run by Judith Kitchen, and very, very grateful for Judith's interest in these poems. When I was first doing that, I think I found my voice through a collage style, right? And the enumerated sequence allowed me to move from section to section, from event to event, taking leaps in time and space without having to worry about transitions very much. And, you know, I was interested in that. I'd read a lot of Eliot, and I'd read The Wasteland, and I'd read a lot of Stevens and stuff like this, and I thought, oh, I kind of like the way they're doing it, and I found that I could do that. And I sent some poems to Phil Levine, and he wrote back, and he especially liked Eros and Middle Age, and he said, but you know, you got to do something other than these collage-style poems. You have to learn to write in another way. Now, it's not that I'd never written in another way, but I said, you know what, he's right. And I needed to get a little more concise. And so I think what I tended to do more recently is blend a little bit of a narrative line with a lot of a lyric line, you know? And so that there is a narrative taking place, there is a story or a plot or whatever you want to call it, but the interior expression can dominate. I'm interested in doing that. When I'm writing the longer poems, I still want the lyric to come through. I think a reader typically needs the structure of a plot or a story to hang on. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. What's going to happen? And if you can forestall the what's going to happen, the eventuality a bit, and let the interior or the lyric moments emerge throughout the poem, and kind of mix in with the narrative moments, I think you can carry a reader through a longer poem. I think it was Helen Vendler it was actually Stevens, I think, who said that a longer poem naturalizes the reader to the voice of the writer, of the poet. And so I've always loved long poems. I just read them. I read them all the time. I like them a lot. Among my favorite books would be, say, the Book of Nightmares by Galway Connell. I love those poems. I like Norman Doobie's long poems, as radically different as they are from Connell's. And I like, Rich's poem, 21 Love Poems. I think all those things are great, and I'm interested in doing that from time to time.
Well, let me ask you then a follow-up question. One of the most extraordinary poems for me in the book is One of Us.
Which we definitely can't read.
It is the 10-page sentence.
Yeah, single sentence.
Single sentence.
Well, if the truth be known, there's no period at the
end.
Right.
And, you know, in a way, I've been talking about that poem with some of my students here, and some of the response has been, you know, it's stream of consciousness. It feels like, you know, did he sit down and just start writing and just not stop?
That's a good question.
And it is a good question. Yeah. And I know the answer, of course, is no. Certainly not. That it's a very, very carefully crafted poem.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that poem?
Yes. I think my first child had just been born. He's 15 years old now. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to get time to write. So I started getting up at about 5:30 in the morning and writing from 5:30 to 7, because I knew I had that hour to hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, I often just throw something on the page and see what happens. I had taken a bus ride from Atlanta, Georgia to Gainesville, Florida, and before I knew it, that was the subject of the poem. And over the course of about 5 or 6 weeks, getting up and writing 7 or 8, 9 new lines every day, and then going back and revising previous lines, that poem emerged. And I must say, I worked very hard. When you have a 10-page sentence in effect, I was working very hard on issues of time in the poem, and also, from a craft's point of view, trying to make each line, nonetheless, a reasonably interesting unit of verse, right? It's not just conversational language, and so here's a character, I make this up, there's a man who's probably in his 30s or 40s, and he's finding that he's having a mental difficulty, he's having emotional difficulties, and he seems to be a distance from the world around him. And he's, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And he traces it back to taking drugs. No, it's not just taking drugs. It wasn't just being doing that. And he traces it back to this bus ride, and these events take place over the course of several hours, which are extremely influential in his on his subconscious mind, and it's reemerging. Right? In a way, it's a conservative kind of poem. It's you know, a critique of the 60s in a way.
Were you a wild man in the 60s?
I had my moments, Stan. I had my moments.
And the poems have that quality of retouching the 60s, obviously from a later time, from middle age.
Yes.
And it gives it an enormously reflective element to these stories, as we've been discussing here, the meditative quality. And the nostalgic quality and the painful sense of time past and the adherence to time present, the family.
Yes.
It's a strong mix, a mix that one could make a novel of. Have you ever written fiction?
Very badly, Stan. I've written some terrible fiction. I do like occasionally writing an essay in which I refer to actual events in my life. Those kinds of things I do okay with. I wrote fiction in college. I tried it later after college, and I just can't navigate a character and plot that well. I'm image-driven.
Let's talk about what you do write.
Okay.
Is jazz important to you aesthetically?
That's an interesting question. You know, nobody else has asked me that question. And I would say that over the last, I've been listening to jazz since I was in my teens. But I became seriously involved with jazz over the last 10 or 12 years. And 15 years, really. And it seems to emerge more and more in my poems. And one of the reasons I like jazz is because it's always contrapuntal. There's always something that is going against the grain in an inventive way. And I think, I don't know if I do that consciously, but there are times where I subconsciously try to do that. And I have this poem called 60s Vespers.
Right.